We're at the 2022 Oklahoma Rural Economic Conference being put on by Oklahoma State University's Ag Econ Department, and we're very happy to have with us Dr. Jim Mentert from Purdue University. Dr. Mentert, you mentioned obviously back in the day you spent quite a few years at Kansas State, and we talked many times livestock. You were the livestock extension specialist at Kansas State, and I know folks had a great deal of respect for you back then here in this part of the world, and so we're glad to have you back, most certainly. Tell us about this project that you really started, in 2015, the Ag Barometer.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back in Oklahoma, and great to be back in the Great Plains and connect with so many friends that I made over the years. So, yeah, we had an opportunity back in 2015 to launch a project in partnership with the CME Group to create an index called the Ag Economy Barometer. So it's a sentiment index for U.S. agricultural producers that really mirrors what has been done for decades with the survey of consumers that's been done by the University of Michigan. So that one, the survey of consumers, focuses on the entire U.S. economy on the consumer side. We wanted to look at more specifically what was going on in production agriculture. So we talked to people that produce the primary ag commodities on the crop side, corn, wheat, soybeans, and cotton. On the livestock side, we talked to people that produce beef, pork, and dairy producers. So it's really focused on those major food groups, those major production outputs. And those are the folks that produce about 80% of the nation's food. We identify people that have an estimated gross farm income of $500,000 and up because we want to talk to people who are engaged in agriculture as maybe not the single source of their farm's income, but a major source of their farm's income. So these are people that are engaged from a business management standpoint.
We've got some standard questions, but I love the comment that you made early on that you get through those, but then you kind of shut up and say, hey, we want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's a telephone survey, and we try to keep people on the phone for no more than 5 minutes. But in 5 minutes, that actually gives you quite a bit of time to ask questions, particularly, we phrase them in a way that they're easy to respond to. And so a typical survey for us usually has somewhere between 20 and 30 questions on it, depending on some of the flow charts that go with it in terms of who's asking or who's responding to what. But yeah, you can do that in 5 minutes, and that gives us opportunities to ask follow-up questions. One of our questions that we get a lot of interest in is now a good time or a bad time to make large investments in your farming operation and things like machinery and equipment and buildings? And we've had to ask follow-up questions of that to maybe better understand and explain why people are answering that the way they are. Because over the last roughly year and a half, people increasingly have told us it's not a good time to make large investments. Yet we look at farm machinery sales, used farm machinery sales, and those continue to be very strong. And so we've asked a series of questions to kind of learn, well, why do you feel that way? And it turns out people are telling us it's not a great time because it's expensive. Prices for things like farm machinery have gone up very rapidly to levels that we are not very comfortable with. That doesn't mean we won't buy, but do we feel like we're getting a good deal? No. And therefore, it's not a good time to make an investment. So sometimes you have to ask some follow-up questions to really understand what people are telling you with respect to, why they feel the way they do.
I guess, obviously, this is a living document, a very, very dynamic survey over the years. So you're able to adapt when you've got some big picture type things that have captured the attention of these farmers, ranchers that you're talking to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So every month we sit down and say, what do we want to ask this month? And we've got a base set of questions we have to ask to compute the indices. And then the question is, well, what do we want to do from a long-term standpoint? Because we always look at the questions we asked at the same time of year last year. That's our first stop. And then the second stop is, as you indicated, what's hot today? What are people worried about? And so, one of the examples of that is in recent months we've been asking people, what's your biggest concern for your farm operation in the upcoming year? And that was largely because, again, we're trying to explain the changes in sentiment that we're seeing. And probably no surprise to your listeners, the number one concern people are telling us is input prices. They're very worried about input prices. And secondly, they're also worried about input availability. That was probably a little bit of a surprise to us that is still as big of an issue for producers today as it was earlier in the pandemic. I think on our most recent survey, we still had 14 or 15% of the producers in the survey said that was one of their top concerns for the 2023 crop season. So very interesting with respect to all the volatility we've got out there and all the uncertainty. And that really, I think, gets at why sentiment among producers is as weak as it is. It's the uncertainty aspect. I look at it from the standpoint of producers are looking at very elevated production cost right now. And based on current budget projections, for example, in the crops, looks like it should be profitable. But the risk level has increased. They've got this big investment going into the ground. And the question is, can you guarantee me that I'm going to have the opportunity to sell wheat, corn, soybeans, milo at profitable prices when I harvest that? And of course, that's big question for people. It's what's put them on edge, and it's raised their risk level by having so many dollars invested in those inputs.
One of the words you used toward the end, unprecedented, that you really hadn't seen a lot of this nervousness or concern that producers are expressing to you very clearly right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there have been some prior periods when we've seen some elevated production costs, so I don't want to downplay that, but the combination of high input prices exacerbated by this availability issue, I think that part's unprecedented. You know, thinking back not just the life of our survey, which only goes back to 2015, but thinking over the course of my career, which, you know, from a agricultural standpoint really extends back to my high school years helping my dad on the farm, there's only been a couple of times when we had some concerns about availability. So that's very unusual. Mm-hmm. And then you compound it with the impact of these high input prices and the large investment people would have to make. And then you think about the external influences on output prices, because today we're, you know, on your show, I'm sure you're talking a lot about what's going on with respect to exports from the Black Sea region. What's going to be the competition factor coming out of South America? What's going on with respect to demand for ag commodities in China? All of those factors are bigger today than they have been in the past. And that has just really put people on edge. And I think, before we see a big improvement in sentiment, we're probably just going to have to see some resolution there in terms of maybe getting some more certainty.
And you said rising concerned higher interest rates.
Yeah, the interest rates have not been a big factor in our survey so far, but you look at, we asked that several different ways on our most recent survey, and you can see the change in monetary policy starting to show up in our surveys. The easiest one to look at is when we ask about, among people who expect farmland values to go up, what factors would drive that increase in farmland values? And early in 2022, almost 10% of the people in the survey said low interest rates would help support farmland values. Our most recent survey, that came down to just 1%. So, and then we ask with respect to the machinery question, whether or not now is a good time or a bad time to make large investments. Among those who said it was a bad time, over time, you can see that more of them are saying interest rates are a factor. So people are starting to worry about that as well. And of course, agriculture is a very capital intensive industry. We are always big users of capital. We have a large investment per worker, per employee on the farm or farm member. And so interest rates do have a big impact. The good news, I think, for U.S. agriculture is that we're entering this period with a strong balance sheet. We've had good incomes these last couple of years on a national level. So the situation is pretty positive from that standpoint. And I think the other thing that's positive is people are somewhat cautionary. We have seen an explosion in farmland values across the country, especially in the central part of the U.S. And the good news about that from a risk standpoint is so much of that has been fueled by cash as opposed to borrowing. So people are not as levered as they were, for example, in the early 1980s, which, of course, wow, a lot of your listeners, you and I remember, and I think a lot of your listeners remember. And if you don't remember, if you're too young to remember that, as my students in class are, you probably need to go back and look at that a little bit. But that was a very devastating time when we ratcheted up interest rates to unprecedented levels, combined with the fact that we entered that time frame with a lot of leverage.
One thing that kind of fascinated me is I look at that overall scale of the up and downs of the barometer itself. You can see some of these incredible, impactful events. And you mentioned the very first one was fall of 2016.
Yeah, that's right. When we started this, we didn't really know what was going to drive sentiment. So it was kind of a big unknown for us. And of course, early in our survey days was the 2016 election. And we saw a big swing in sentiment following the 2016 election, which we were essentially caught flat-footed. We didn't anticipate that. And we asked some follow-up questions to try and ascertain why sentiment changed among our survey respondents. And, you know, they had some good reasons. They said that they expected to see a change in the regulatory environment that would be more favorable to U.S. agriculture following the 2016 election. They expected to see a more favorable tax policy. And they actually expected to see a more favorable trade environment for U.S. agriculture. So people really were looking at the change in Washington and then thinking about how that might impact their business. And then, you know, we saw a little bit of the reverse reaction following the 2020 election. It wasn't as strong as the response that we saw following the 2016 election, but we did see a weakening in sentiment. And again, we actually did pre and post questions on that one. And people were worried that they would see a more restrictive regulatory environment. They thought the tax policy was going to go in a way that was not favorable to agriculture. So people think about their business and how government policy can impact their business. And then they look to the changes in Washington to see, well, which way is the wind going to blow and how is that going to impact my operation? But yeah, those external events are bigger drivers of sentiment than we guessed when we started.
Right. I guess what the pandemic, it looked like there was a pretty good slide during that general time frame.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sentiment collapsed when the pandemic hit, as did every other sentiment index. I mean, all of us, you know, whether you're a consumer, an ag producer, we all became very, very concerned, and sentiment did, in fact, collapse during that time frame and then recovered, right? So we actually saw some pretty strong sentiment values at the end of 2020 and beginning of 2021. Mm-hmm. We were looking at a recovery in output prices. Income levels were looking pretty strong. People became pretty optimistic. And then over the last roughly year and a half or so, we've lost very, very much of that sentiment improvement that we experienced.
So wrapping things up, you know, what's your advice to producers right now? As you talk with them and you get this kind of feedback from them, the concerns they have about the volatility, about the uncertainty of high prices, the ability to make a profit if they put a crop or they keep livestock around, you know, what's the recommendation back to them? What are you telling them?
So that's a very good question, a very difficult one to answer. So long term, I remain bullish on U.S. agriculture. So if you're a young person, I still think the opportunities are out there. I think you need to be a little bit careful with respect to how you make investments. And your decision point on that is probably going to depend on what stage of your career you're at. I think this is an environment where you need to be concerned about how much exposure you have to debt. If you do have exposure to debt, my personal bias, not everybody would agree with this, but my personal bias would be to lock in interest rates because I think they're headed higher, to take that risk element out. Mm-hmm. So that would be one concern. And then I'd be a little bit cautious on the investment side. Farmland values with interest rates going up, I don't know that we've peaked. We continue to see sales, and for example, in the Corn Belt at record levels here in just recent weeks. But I'd be a little bit cautious there. In the Corn Belt, much and elsewhere, much of that increase in farmland values has been driven by cash. At some point, we're going to see less cash availability. In our surveys, I think I showed this during the conference, a large percentage of the producers who think farmland values are going to continue to go up say it's going to be because of non-farm investors supporting the marketplace. I'm not as convinced that that will, in fact, be the case. I'm a little more cautious about that. However, I have to say with the volatility in the stock market and the negative returns in the stock market, they might be right. You know, I mean, so I think that's, but I think this is an environment where you have to be a little bit cautious about your opportunities. But there's going to be people exiting the industry. There always are. That means there's going to be expansion opportunities. And so your challenge is to continue to think about, you know, if I make this move, what does that do to my cost of production? And I think if you're careful about that, there's going to be some opportunities for folks going forward. But long term, I remain very optimistic about U.S. agriculture.
Talking today with Dr. Jim Minter, Purdue University. You can Google the CME Group, Purdue Ag Barometer, and get a lot of information there. They've got a lot of resources on each of these barometers, and I know that you'll find it pretty interesting if you're interested in the world of agriculture. On the Oklahoma Farm Report from Stillwater, I'm Ron Hayes.